would win in a fight, Grenth or Melandru?
Well, Grenth is the god of death, and Melandru is part tree. Death, tree, death, tree. Tough call.
Hey everyone, welcome back to this 36th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We had a pretty exciting week. We have the Human Spotlight Week this week, so we have a lot to talk about. And from what it sounds like, they're going to do a racial spotlight week for each race, I imagine.
You know, I really hope that's the case. Just because I'm loving all of the lore and images and video that we've gotten so far.
Yeah, it's, it seems like a safe bet to do human first, because I think we all know a little bit about humans. I don't know. I do, at least. I don't know if you do.
You know, I'm starting to learn a little bit. Yeah. So I'm a robot, so it's hard.
So now we have to start speculating stuff like, what's going to be the next spotlight week?
Duh, Char.
Oh, that's true. No, maybe they'll be saving that for last. I don't know.
That's my speculation.
we have the Human Spotlight discussion to talk about, where we're going to teach you all about humans and what they're all about, because it's a mystery, right?
I'm excited to learn about this.
And then we have a lot of email, and we decided, usually we've been pretty good about keeping up with email and reading them on the show. Last week we had the roundtable, so we didn't get to any. So we're way, way, way behind. I mean, we have stuff from the beginning of January that we haven't read yet. So we're going to just start picking some, you know, especially ones that pertain. We got a lot about the human week, so we're going to read a lot, you know, to pertain to this show exactly. And then maybe one day down the line we'll have an all-email show, and then we'll read some of the older ones, stuff like that.
I think people like email shows. I like email shows. I like hearing from you guys.
It allows us to read email and tell people that we don't know the answers to questions.
Great.
So what have you been up to in the world of Guild Wars?
Oh my gosh, just reveling in all of this information. It's so cool.
Oh, the human stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, it's neat because we're getting new pieces of information, we're getting new art, but it's all grounded in this history and lore that we know so well. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun to expand on that.
So what you're saying is you didn't get a chance to play Guild Wars this week.
Well, you know what? We're recording this a day early.
Yeah, that's true. We do need to point that out.
Yeah, tonight, this is Thursday mornings, and usually I'm like, oh, last night in Guild Wars, we did this and this and this. And last night in Guild Wars, I didn't play Guild Wars.
Yeah, we should point that out. And actually, the week hasn't ended yet, the human week, and we're going to get another tidbit tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
So we don't know what that's going to be, but actually I'm going to be gone tomorrow, so we had to record this today. So we're going to leave a link to, you know, the existing blog entries and everything that they put in there. And then, of course, you can check on the arena.net/blog page for whatever they're going to have come up tomorrow. And hopefully I get this out today so that I can stop saying tomorrow and today.
It's a little disconcerting because we're always working a day off one way or another.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but we're doing something a little different tonight in Guild Wars. I can talk about what we are going to do in Guild Wars tonight, if that's okay.
Yeah.
We are going to do a Vanquish in Prophecies. We're going to put Cantha on hold for a week. Because I kind of suggested that we maybe, my alt is finally Prophecies. She's flagged for hard mode in Prophecies since we finished that campaign a while back. And I suggested that I kind of wanted to do a Vanquish, and the MVOP guild really hopped on board. Everybody was like, oh my gosh, that sounds awesome. That sounds like so much fun. So I started trying to find a time when we could do that outside of Thursday night. It was not happening. So I was finally like, okay, I have an idea. Why don't we let Shiro live a little bit longer and maybe Vanquish Thursday night? And everybody seemed great with that. So that's what we're doing tonight.
Cool.
Yeah.
So are you still keeping up a nice solid group or two?
Yeah, we are. We've got, we're still almost at member cap in the guild, which just absolutely thrills me every week. But it's still, we've still got a good core group that we go with, and that's, like you said, it's usually a group or two at least. With the Vanquish, a lot of the Alliance members, I think it's going to be huge tonight, because so many of the Alliance members have posted in our forum and said, oh, I would love to come on that. I would love to do that with you guys.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
So I'm going to have to pick an 8-man area, so we're not, well, mostly because I don't want to embarrass myself doing a 4-man area in live stream, just because it's hard.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I do have to talk about one more thing that we did in Guild Wars this past week, and that was Canthan New Year last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
The alliance that we're in is the Guild Wars Online Alliance, and I've mentioned that before. But the alliance, that alliance traditionally hosts a district in Canthan New Year. What that is, if you're not familiar with Canthan New Year, is part of this event in Xingjie Monastery. You've got these NPC chefs standing around, and during the finale, there's a 24-hour finale period, and every 3 hours they start yelling for ingredients. The Celestial is coming, and I need to make a fancy dish for it to impress the Celestial, which was a rabbit this year. It's the Chinese year of the rabbit. And the Guild Wars Online Alliance, along with a lot of other guilds in Guild Wars, over the year has gotten to where throughout the year they collect and save all of the ingredients that the chefs want. And if every chef gets all of his ingredients, he gets to make this dish and present it to the Celestial Rabbit so the rabbit's impressed. Everyone in the district gets gifts from the rabbit, gets like thank you gifts in their inventory. And it's like fireworks and red gift bags and some summoning stones. And when you host a district, what you're doing is saying we are committing to providing all of these ingredients so everybody in the district can just sit back and enjoy and still reap the rewards. So we did that last weekend and we had an amazing turnout. I took some screenshots and there are so many gold tags in the district. So we filled two districts and put the overflow in a third, I believe.
Cool. I remember you talking about this last year, too, how big it was.
Yeah, and that's what I love about this alliance. It's so huge, and everybody pitched in and had so much fun. So, and this was MVOP's first year to participate in this, and they really stepped up, and everybody helped run ingredients, and they're, you know, just joined in the party, and it was great.
Cool, that's good to hear.
Yeah, I loved it. Okay, so Guild Wars 2. That was my big Guild Wars rant.
Well, yeah, we have the Guild Wars 2 human news this week. Let's start out by kind of talking in order, I guess. We'll start with what they revealed on Tuesday. And I say revealed, it wasn't really a big deal or anything. But they did this blog post called Against the Wall, Humanity in Guild Wars 2. And this, what I liked about this is it kind of puts a personality to the race. You know what I mean? It shows you why they feel the way they do. You know, that we've had the Centaur, recent Centaur invasions. We have, of course, the searing by the Char. You know, 300 years they've basically been displaced and at war. You know, they came up to settle in Kryta, or in Ascalon, of course, and then they've just been in war since then. I mean, Kryta is kind of now in the time leading up to Guild Wars 2, Kryta is the place where the humans live. You know, it's like their stronghold now. Of course, Or, you know, sunk to the ground and then it turned into a kind of an undead city. And then Ascalon, you know, the searing happened there. So it's all in Kryta now. It's all about Kryta. So this blog post, it talks about what they believe now, resulting from the last 300 years. You know, a big thing they touch on is the tolerance. You know, what do they feel about the Char? Like, they still hate the Char to this day. You know, they still kind of spit on the ground when they see a Char.
Yeah.
Although they're not really at war with them, or at least all of them, you know, at this time. They talk about a little bit about their faith. You know, of course, the six gods are gone. So they talk about how Queen Jenna has, you know, she's the queen now of the Crichton throne. So they talk about, you know, what she's going to do. Like, how's she going to help the humans? And they're all kind of looking up to her. And the way they do this, when they break down the different categories like this, is they have little sound bites included in the blog post where they play what the NPCs, you know, when you're walking around Divinity's Reach, which is the starter city for humans, what kind of things are the people around, you know, the NPCs talking about? And that's what these little sound bites are for. And actually, you heard one at the beginning of this episode. That was one that I wanted to include in there because I love those little sound bites so much. But what did you think about this blog post?
This was my least favorite one.
Uh-oh.
I was, actually, you know what? I shouldn't apply that to the entire blog post, because I really enjoyed, I always enjoy the history and the lore, and I want to know what they're thinking and why they're thinking it. And, I mean, I get the 300 years of hostility with the Char, and I understand how this is more of an armed truce than a peace treaty. Mm-hmm. And that stuff interests me. I hated the sound clips. I'm sorry. I hated them.
Was it the voice acting?
Well, sort of. It was the vernacular. I hated it. And I feel bad saying that because, you know, I love everything about this game so much, and I love what they're doing with it. But this is not supposed to be a modern setting. It's very emphatically not a modern setting. And I'm sitting here listening to some guy go, "I'm sick of this crap."
Oh, yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. Whoa, hold on.
Well, you don't think they had crap in the interior back then?
No, nobody went to the bathroom. Look around, man. Have you ever seen a bathroom interior? It's
That's
not
true.
A thing.
That's true.
No. But really, it was all the feel and the phrasing and the cadence of their speech was all 2011. Hmm. And the best nod to the time period that they gave was this faux snooty British accent. And it felt, and again, it feels so weird to say this because you know how I am about this game and how much I love it. Mm-hmm. But every time I listened to a voice clip, I disliked it more. I went down the line listening to them. And I actually said to a couple people at Massively, did they move this game to 2011 and nobody told me? Because it was everything about it spoke to a modern way of speaking. Mm-hmm. And now, it's better. I mean, I'll give them that. It's better than The Chosen and Prophecies going, "Please don't hurt us." Because that just, I giggle every time I hear that. Or the voice acting in Factions. I mean, Oh my gosh, it's come a long way.
Ah, Master Togo.
I did not know you were here. So I don't want to just completely trash it. Uh-huh. But I didn't like it. It was too much. Some of it was too meta. I mean, there were kids playing, you know, a medieval version of Cops and Robbers, and one of them actually said pew pew.
Well, I think that they're doing a little pop culture humor in there, I guess. You know, they're trying to make us laugh. I mean, I'm surprised there's not like a Double Rainbow reference in there or something.
I'm relieved. I guess I can see that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate humor. I love humor in these games, and that just draws me in so much. But this was too meta, and it was too modern, and it was so, so disappointing to me.
See, here's the way I think, and I'm going to disagree with you. So everybody mark this down on your calendars, because this is me and Ruby disagreeing.
And we have never done that before.
Never. I think that it's not really, like, there's no way for us to really know what Tyria will be, would be like 250 years after it was in Guild Wars 1, because what we're, you know, you're talking about 2011 on Earth, you know, not mm-hmm. in Tyria. So, I mean, maybe it's just a whole different thing. And although the dress and the, you know, it's a very Victorian looking, mm-hmm. Age, who's to know that their Victorian age wasn't, you know, that their speech patterns and everything weren't as progressed up to where ours are now. You know what I mean? That's kind of the way I'm approaching it. More of a, who knows, you know, they're writing the story, so it can kind of be however they'd like.
Maybe.
I personally, this is something that I do find interesting, the whole voice acting in games. You know, you look at something like Dragon Age. BioWare took a kind of a peculiar angle on Dragon Age because, like, the elves are, you know, British sounding, and like the humans are I guess they do a little bit different, but it's strange how they do a specific accent for the different races, mm-hmm. and it doesn't really. Change at all. The dwarves in Dragon Age have an American accent. And I say American, it could, you know, it's like Midwestern American.
Right.
It's just a really, like, hey, how are you doing there? You know, just kind of like a really, and it just, it's so, I don't know, it's kind of jarring when you play that game and you see a dwarf and he's like, hey, can you go over there and get that axe for me? And you're like, what?
Can you do the rest of the podcast like that, please?
No, I could sound like my relatives from Chicago. I can be like, can you go over there and get that bag over there?
Oh my gosh.
I can do that. But I won't do that. But that's
I will give you money.
But the point is that I find this stuff fascinating because, you know, BioWare decided to go with that kind of, you know, vanilla American accent for dwarves, and then they went for, like, you know, there's always the British accent in games, and it's always kind of a, and I say British, of course there are different British accents, but it's a very, you know, like a noble, almost posh kind of a thing where they do usually with elves. Martin Kirsten actually pointed this out to me because I was making fun of this on Twitter, and he says, he says, it's usually, the dwarves usually have a Scottish accent, right? And I'm like, yeah, there you go, see, what's up, like, they usually, like, who decided at one point that all dwarves are from Scotland, you know?
I don't know. Now I'm thinking of Linda from Sony Online Entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Linda Carlson. So, yeah, I think it's just funny how they do this. So, I guess getting back to Guild Wars 2, I think it's who knows what kind of accent they're going to have in Tyria, you know, at this age, exactly, at this time, this period of time. And I don't think that it's really, I mean, it's up to ArenaNet to kind of decide that because they're the ones writing this. And I think they probably decided to get away from that normal, you know, Victorian age, you know, where everybody talks like this and everybody's, that was the worst accent ever. But
you are like the accent man today. You are awesome.
But, I'm not as good as Ryan or Relics of War. He's the master.
Anyway, is he really?
Yeah. Anyway, do you see what I'm saying though? It's like, who really knows, like, you know, ArenaNet would know it more than us. So we can't really gauge that against what we have here on Earth.
I can see that. I definitely, I mean, I don't want them to run around forsoothing all over the place.
Yeah.
But
that can
you know
get
what?
Messy.
Somebody's got to shovel that stuff up, man. And I doubt shoveler is a profession. It
know.
Just hit me. Oh, did I just call it?
Uh-oh. What?
No, I didn't.
Oh, the shoveler?
Yeah, the
next
shoveler.
Profession.
I just realized why this struck such a jarring note for me. And this is in part, again, I still feel like it's too meta. But go back and watch the Races of Tyria video. And I actually want you guys to do this. Watch the Races of Tyria video, and then go back right away and listen to the sound clips. They're so, so, so different. Mm. Even, and like I said before, even the cadence of their speaking is completely different than, you know, Air and Zoja and Logan and Kaith and Ritlock.
Wait, do you mean that they're different from each other or different than from this?
No, they're different from this.
Oh, okay.
Everything about them, like I said before, the cadence, the vernacular, everything about the way of speaking has such a different feel, and I wish I could be specific and say they said this phrase and this phrase and this phrase, but it's more overall than that. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if there were changes in the way voice acting was done. Obviously, there were changes in who they hired, but I wonder if there was some sort of deliberate change made within ArenaNet, some decisions made that said, you know what, we want to go this direction. Because that's like you said, it's their game, and they know their stuff. Mm-hmm. And they know their world better than any of us ever can.
Yeah, yeah.
But it feels so different to me. I really disliked it. And I've actually, now, after I finish writing Flameseeker Chronicles for Monday, I'm going to go look at the forums. I've made a huge point of not reading the forums this week because I don't want my opinions colored before I get them written down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'll be interested to see if anybody else feels that way.
Well, that's interesting. I think, I don't know. I still stand by that. I think that that's kind of what, you know, it's kind of their thing. And actually, Martin said on Twitter, I think he did a voiceover for something. I think the Char, I think he said on Twitter.
I saw that.
Yeah, he said something like, oh, it's a good day. You know, I just got back from doing a Char voice or something. And it's like, he says, I love working for a game company. And I'm like, jealous. I'm so jealous.
Saw that. I was completely jealous too. And then Regina tweeted something like that too.
Yeah.
So I follow her on Twitter too because I'm creepy and a stalker.
Well, you follow me too, which that's
again
creepy.
Yeah, I know, right? No, it is. I mean, and this is something that I've said so many times before, it's totally an opinion thing. This does not mean that the voice acting sucks. This means that I don't like it individually. Yeah. So I'm going to be really, really interested to see what the rest of the community says when I finally let myself look.
Yeah, and I'd like people to let us know also in the comments or email. Definitely. Well, let's move on to the next one then. And this is about, this one came out yesterday, and this is called Designing Humans. It's character art in Guild Wars 2, Designing Humans. This one is by Aaron Coberly, and it's another blog post that talks more about kind of the style of the humans, you know, about what it means to be human and to customize your character, you know, to kind of stay true to humanity, you know, not humanity, but I guess, you know, humanness.
Right.
So he goes down the line here and it shows some really amazing pictures. I love, love, love this first picture here. He's got this guy and this lady standing next to each other, and the guy is dressed, it kind of reminds me, this strikes like a chord from when I was a kid. The belt that this guy's wearing, it's like two belts and one of them is kind of hanging, that's very like Han Solo. And I love that. You know what I mean? Like, you have the two belts.
Yeah.
But it's also very Firefly, I think. It's got the,
Yay!
You know, yeah, like, it's got the kind of worn out leather look with the belt, lots of buckles. But then he's got these giant poofy sleeves. What's up with that?
Well, he beat up a pirate and stole his shirt, obviously. Duh.
Maybe that's the profession that Loudon was talking about in that roundtable episode. He said, like, the, you know, the swashbuckler.
Oh, I thought you meant pirate shirt stealer.
that's the next profession right there.
Okay.
but I like it. There's also a comparison of the Mesmer, which, you know, it's got the Mesmer from Guild Wars 1 and a character that looks very similar, possibly a Mesmer from Guild Wars 2. So, I'm just going to – it's got to be Mesmer, right?
You know, I said that in, when I wrote this up for Massively, because I was immediately like, oh, Mesmer! Oh, my gosh! Got to be a Mesmer! And somebody let me know in the comments, again, I am not reading the forums this week, and somebody said that on the forums, Regina stepped in and said, that's not a Mesmer, it's just town clothes.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually have a distinction between armor and clothes. You know, there's outfits you can buy that kind of go over your armor that don't really have stats like that, and they've talked about that before. So yeah, they're trying to dispel the rumors by saying that this is just an outfit that, you know, you can kind of wear as your formal evening wear or whatever. Doesn't necessarily mean there's a Mesmer. But I'm not listening to any of that. It's a Mesmer.
It's still a Mesmer. It's so gorgeous, though. I mean, yeah. Mesmer or no, look at the texture.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that even goes through. On the first picture, they have this kind of a silky dress that the woman's wearing, and you can tell. And later on, actually, he addresses that, and he says, we want to show the difference between leather and metal and cloth and silk. Like, we want you to be able to see that. And a lot further down, they have some of the hard armors, you know, the plate armor and the metal armors. And it has a reflection that reminds me a lot of Vindictus, which I always loved.
Oh, yeah.
You know how Vindictus, it has a real shiny type of armor that looks realistic. That's what it looks like this has on it. It's probably like a same type of a texture thing.
I see that. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
I like that a lot.
You know, look at the female, well, I hate to call it heavy armor when it's got thigh-high fishnets, but look at the female. What's hanging off of her belt? Are those cartridges?
Let me zoom in on that. Cartridges. Oh, on the side there? Those look like, it looks kind of like a samurai, whatever they call that, the waist piece for samurais.
I can see that.
Yeah, I think it's just like kind of a plate, like a scale mail almost, but it's kind of little plates. I don't know. I don't think that's, but that would be interesting.
It would be fun if that was something that could be utilized, and check out her left arm. Oh my gosh, do not get near that.
Oh, I know. That would hurt. And then, like, how does she keep those fishnets up? I don't know. They're straps. I don't.
I actually opened my mouth to explain how that works. I'm just going to stop talking now.
Okay. And then, of course, the rest of the outfit is something.
Not,
yeah, it's not really there. There's a lot of exposed skin, but that's something else that they address in there. I mean, you know, standing on the other side of this other heavily armored guy, there's a male character who has very similar looking armor. You know, he's heavy armor up in the shoulders, and then his stomach is exposed, and his knees, and, you know, so he's not, it's kind of like the same percentage of skin showing on the male and female. But that's something that they address in there. They say it's very important to kind of relate to the characters. If you were in this world, sure, it would be cool to have this giant heavy armor all the time, right? But it's not practical. Like, it's not practical to walk around in this heavy armor, unless you are a frontline. You know, they say the warrior and the guardian will share armor. So unless you're like a frontline character that puts this stuff on just for battle, you know, you're not going to be wearing this stuff all the time.
Right.
One important thing that they mentioned too is with like flexibility. Also, if you're shooting fireballs, like it's going to be hot. You know, if you're shooting fire around, you're going to be really hot if you're wearing heavy armor. So you want to wear something a little, you know, more that breathes a little bit better, I guess you could say. Yeah. So I think it's cool that they address that they're kind of discussing, you know, I don't know. It's like, this is relating to how you would feel if you were wearing these clothes. Now, sure, wearing giant spikes coming out of your arm would probably be a little uncomfortable, like if you had to, I don't know, like wipe your nose or something. I mean, you know.
Ow!
Giant spike in your head. But I think that I think the rest of it is just all about practicality and relating to the specific situations.
I can see that. I really did. Like you said, I like how they address the balance between practicality and the fantasy aspect of the game. Mm-hmm. Because they're putting so much effort into the beautiful look of these armors that it makes sense to have a huge range and let that attractive look have different aspects and appeal to different players.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think, kind of going off of that, they talk about the character customization. And they say that, you know, it's not going to be so much about, you know, picking the right hair color and picking the right nose and things like that, which, you know, is kind of what you do in most games. They said it's actually scalable. A lot of it will be scalable, and you'll be able to kind of change the proportions of your character, which I find interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, like we joked about on that one roundtable episode, you know, I want a Norgu belly. You know, I wonder if you're going to be able to do that. You know, a lot of people say there are no fat characters. You know, there are no overweight characters in these games, and I want to be able to play an overweight character for whatever reason. And you should be able to do that. And, you know, every character shouldn't be, you know, a 38 double D, and, you know, every man shouldn't have, you know, chiseled abs and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I have that in real life, but, you know, I, you know, can't really play that.
I'm not even sure where to go with that.
Okay, so I don't. But but I think that it's important and kind of interesting to approach that in that way. You know, that you'll have more of a customization of more than just the face. You know, a lot of games you can tweak the heck out of the face, and then it's like for the body you choose three heights, and that's it.
Right. Know?
So I think it's cool that they're going off of that.
I'd love to see that acknowledgement of different body types in the game. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
Oh, could we get like a Char with a pot belly? He's like been too much Devourer tail.
Oh, I would so play that.
That would be awesome.
Another thing they touch on here with this customization is armor. They say, they give the example that there are going to be separate pieces for the armor. There's six interchangeable parts. There's helmet, headgear, shoulders, coats, legs, gloves, and boots. But they will also have sets. You know, there will be outfits, which are kind of take all of those at once. There will be sets. There will be like they give example of something like a coat with built-in shoulders and a helmet. So you'll put that on, and all three of those areas will be taken care of, which I think is pretty cool because then you can still mix and match, but you still have that main set. And there are a lot of games that do that. Again, you know, I talk about a lot of single-player games, but Fable 3, they have some pretty cool outfits like this where you can mix and match and get a whole outfit and, you know, throw it on like that. I mean, a lot of games do that. But that's what always makes me think of Fable 3 with these outfits that they show because they're very Victorian and, like, you know, I don't know, swashbuckling type of a thing. But this picture here, it's the third one on that blog post. It's called Medium Armor. So I imagine this is more for like rangers. Wow.
Other things that we don't know yet.
Not mesmers.
Not mesmers.
Yeah.
I really like the options given. And, you know, they said it's not going to be, okay, here's your ranger armor. Okay, here's your guardian armor. Here's your Ellie armor. But it's going to be the light, medium, and heavy, which we kind of knew. But the confirmation of an overall non-class specific light, medium, and heavy armor is kind of cool. And I don't think individuality is going to be a problem because we have so many customization options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even this medium armor picture, it shows the different types of like face gear mixed with the, you know, the different gloves and gauntlets and pants, and you know, you just go down the line here, you can see some similarities, but there are also ones that are changed. It looks like he also has like heavy plate boots, which is kind of cool.
I see that. I'm curious about this Spider-Man thing he's got going on the left.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then the one all the way on the right almost looks like a rogue.
Oh, I hope so. That would be cool.
Definitely.
I do. What's with the... Okay, now I actually do have a question, because you see this in Guild Wars and a lot of fantasy games. Guy in the middle, completely exposed left arm. Is that for some sort of freedom of movement? I mean, is there a reason behind that? Because it seems to be a fantasy MMO staple.
Well, actually, sometimes they'll do that. They'll have like the... That'll be the shield arm, so that they can... You know, they'll be protected already with the shield, and then the other arm with the main hand, I guess, will have more protection because you'll be using that. Sometimes they do the opposite of that, though. You'll notice the one, right beside him has a big plate shoulder.
Oh, yeah, I see
that. Just on that one side. So,
well, that's maybe the shield wouldn't go all the way up there, because look, the rest of his arm is exposed a little bit.
Yeah.
This is a complete tangent, and I kind of hope one of our listeners can tell me more about it.
Well, I think that's what it is. I think it's just about, you know, offhand versus shield.
Yeah,
so it
I
makes
bet
you
you're
think,
right.
It makes you think that this might be a shield-wielding character or something.
Ooh.
They did that with a lot of the rain or the warrior armors in Guild Wars 1 too.
Yeah.
There's that one. What's it called? Centurion armor. The one that Walmart Special has on. And on the one side it has a giant spike and like armor on that side, but the other side is completely free. So I think that's how they do that.
Interesting.
And at the end here he wraps it up with something I found kind of interesting. He says that he can't wait to share some Norn character designs in the weeks ahead.
Yay!
So, I mean, we kind of figure, you know, they're going to go down each race, but I'm very... I mean, this is like the tip of the iceberg here, because we've played humans in Guild Wars 1, so we kind of know what to expect. But to see the rest of them... I mean, I want to see Savari with, like, plate mail on. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know.
I don't know. It might. I'm interested in the backstory of everybody. I want to know more about the Nightmare Court. After reading Edge of Destiny, the Nightmare Court is so interesting to me.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for more.
And then today they had the reveal. Actually, earlier this morning, they show a new video called Kryta, the Last Human Homeland. And it's very, it looks like it's all in-game, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, definitely. This is easily in-game footage. We've seen a lot of it before.
Yeah. But you'll see it has, like, Logan running through Divinity's Reach. And, it shows kind of what's going on in the background and, you know, little scenes of the NPCs kind of going on with their daily life and things like that, which is pretty cool. And then they also have a little bit more on the history of the humans. In this, it's not a blog post. It's not on their blog page, but it's on the main Guild Wars 2 .com page where they have a breakdown of the races. So they explain a little bit more about, you know, how the humans got to be where they are, where they've come since Guild Wars 1, and why they're doing what they're doing. You know, why they're fighting against the dragons, and kind of how they're rebuilding themselves. You know, because they didn't really get to the point of the dwarves, which is completely wiped out, but they're kind of held down quite a bit. They're one of the, I guess you could consider them one of the most oppressed races of the Guild Wars universe.
They're pretty battered.
Yeah, and so now they're starting to kind of rise back up, and I think that's where we meet them in Guild Wars 2. So I think it's a pretty interesting backstory that people should read, especially if you're in the lore.
It is, and I am really, really hoping that they expand on this. Because the heritage of the humans, where it talks about the defeat of Abaddon and the human gods withdrawing from Tyria, I want to know more about, I hope we can find out more about the gods' motivations, because what it says here is, with the defeat of Abaddon, the human gods withdrew from Tyria. They did not abandon their worshippers, but rather pulled back from directly interfering, Much like parents teaching a child to walk, they let humanity stumble forward and learn to pick itself up when it fell. Now, when I read this, I was like, okay, hold on a minute here. Cormyr screwed all this up by messing with things that she knew better than to mess with. The rest of us came in and fixed Cormyr's mistake. We defeated a god.
Yeah.
I mean, we defeated Abaddon. They made Cormyr a god and backed off from us and said we need to learn to deal on our own. Something's not right here. And I feel like there's more. I feel like there's more story that we don't know yet.
Yeah, I guess, well, I mean, that's very possible. You know, they don't want to give it all away right now.
Yeah, I want to know more. I'm like, no, wait a minute. Something is not right here. What else is there to this story? I mean, that's, you know, Cormyr, we only found out at the very end that she had set all of these events in motion. So maybe we're going to find out more down the road. Because I feel like we did a pretty good job, frankly.
Yeah, hopefully.
So, I mean, I figured the gods would be going, hey, thanks, man. And you know what? That's exactly what they'd say, too, is, hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, they would say, crap, man.
Thanks for cleaning up all that crap that Cormyr did.
Dude.
They will, sup. That's what the gods will say when they come back.
Would you just completely quit the game if you heard what's up or sup in the game? Would you be like, ah, that's it?
I don't know. That's awful. I've got the warriors with the baggy pants. Down close. They're like, he's got his pants all sagged. That's what I want to see.
You have a quest to like pull up 12 pants of warriors.
And kill them.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, I feel like there's more to the story. I feel like this is like the Cliff's Notes. Mm-hmm. And we're going to find out so much more. I hope so, because lore is, I feel like lore is one of Guild Wars' strong points. Hmm. And I hope we delve a lot more into this.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will. I'm dude. Positive.
Dude.
Okay, so let's get into some of the emails then. We have quite a few. I wanted to cover maybe five or six here.
Awesome.
These go back about 2 weeks ago. I'm going to go ahead and kind of start out in January. But this first one I had to read because the title says, please read this on the podcast. I'll feel famous.
Don't say his name. Okay. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. That's mean.
No, it says, this is from The Lonely Savari.
Aw.
And it says, hi, guys. It's The Lonely Savari, longtime listener, first-time emailer. I just wanted to share my next profession speculation and why. I think that they will reveal the assassin-ish, roguish, stealthy profession because, well, it was teased in an interview already, but more importantly, it seems like they are trying to reveal the professions of the members of Destiny's Edge. That's very true because I did Guardian. maybe in time for a new book. I don't know. With the reveal of the Guardian, Logan is no longer a mystery, which leaves Kaith, our friendly neighborhood houseplant.
Oh, nice.
Obviously, she is a plant ninja, and thus is a roguish profession. So I think the stealthy ninja-like profession will be next. We could also argue that Snaf was a member, so why not release whatever profession he was? Well, the answer is simple. He's dead. Oh, spoiler alert.
Aww.
Not to sound cold, but he most likely won't be in the next book, so not much reason to shed more light on him so soon, but Case might be. Okay, thanks for listening, The Lonely Savari. I don't know, what do you think?
I think I don't want to spoil anymore, but...
should I beep that out?
There's a small problem with his logic.
We won't get into that.
Okay. No, I can't. I don't want to spoil anymore. So, okay, moving on.
Okay, well, let's see. This next one, we actually got a lot of speculation ones, especially right after the Guardian was revealed. All the speculation emails came in. So I'm going to skip a lot of those. But you're like, yay! Oh, wait. This one here, it's kind of a long one, I guess, and it says, hey, Sean and Ruby, Ruby and Sean, I'd like to start by saying that I'm a longtime listener and fan of both Guildcast and Guild Wars. I've been playing the game on and off since its open alpha test event in 2004, and I began listening to the original Guildcast right before it stopped. I was really glad when I found out over the summer that Sean brought that podcast back, and I must say that Ruby has been an absolute pleasure to listen to each week. Wait, did you write this?
Are you going to bleep that out?
Yeah, I'm going to bleep that out too. I'd also like to thank Ruby for the Road to 50 features, which have been a great help in getting me those extra points in the Hall of Monuments.
Yay, you're welcome.
As a fellow games journalist and podcaster working as the news director at a small gaming site, GamerNode, and residing on the East Coast, I will be attending PAX East. I really hope to meet up with you two at some point over that weekend to say hi, and thank you both personally for putting together such a great podcast. Neither of us are going to be at PAX East, so sorry.
Trying not to think about that.
Yeah. Sad face. Now enough with the brown nosing. I really enjoy the idea of a roundtable of the roundtable discussions at the beginning of each month, and thought that the first one with the Relics of War was great. Personally, I would absolutely love to be a part of one. I even have a couple ideas about topics. He goes on, says, the playable races of Guild Wars 2, their advantages, disadvantages, what classes may or may not work best with them, the significance each race and or race's leadership will play in the story, and what everyone is looking forward most to play. Another topic idea is guilds. What has been done right in Guild Wars, what was lacking, and what can be changed for Guild Wars 2 to make them better, i.e. larger roster, guild vault, more intricate guild halls, expanded guild versus guild. I also wanted to say that I'm extremely excited about the Guardian class. As someone who has a warrior as their main in Guild Wars, it's good to see there will be a class in Guild Wars 2 that will have the intense feeling of being in the thick of the battle, but at the same time, be more strategic and give you the ability to help and support your allies. A lot of people believe that the class is replacing the monk, but I see the class as much more. I see it more as a mixture of a ton of classes. It has the heavy armor and weapons of the warrior, the smiting and protecting of the monk, the buffing of the paragon, expanding on the spiritual weapons of the ritualist, and the ability to augment your offensive capabilities like the dervish. Basically, it takes my favorite aspects of all those classes and rolls them into one. It will definitely be the profession I will use for my first character in the game. Finally, I will say that I am behind Sean that the Mesmer reveal will be next. Yay! Thanks to Edge of Destiny, ArenaNet practically jumped up and down yelling, "We have a Mesmer! It will be awesome! Don't worry about it being excluded!" Because of this, I don't think ANet will hold back on the reveal for much longer. I predict that after that, we will get our Rogue Assassin class and then our brand new Mysterious class. I think the new class will be saved for last because ArenaNet knows that everyone is dying to find out just what that is and what it will do. Making it the final reveal will help to keep interest in Guild Wars 2 at a peak. It just makes too much sense to not reveal it last. I will now stop this excessively long email. Thanks for reading, and I hope to see you guys in Boston. Murph Windham. Wow.
I can see his logic, but you guys are wrong.
It's the shoveler? Is that...
Yeah, it's totally the shoveler. The pirate's shirt-stealing shoveler.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
I don't know. I tend to agree with him. I think Mesmer, Rogue slash Assassin, and then something completely new, which will probably be an engineer or something like that.
I just have this very, very strong feeling that the Mesmer is last. I can't tell you why. It's fixed in my head.
It's to make me crazy, isn't it?
No, I have other ways of doing that.
Oh, right.
I was ticking you off way before this came along.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's get to another email here. We have a few that related to the humans, so I wanted to talk about that. Actually, let's see. A couple of these are from just a couple days ago. Here's one. Human Week. Hi, Ruby and Sean. It looks like ANet is going to be giving us a lot more details about each race. Sounds like a good time to show off the Savari reskin. But up first are the humans. They are going to cover writing and sound, human character design, armor, clothing, etc., background detail with video tours of Divinity's Reach, and finally the balance of power between the Seraph, Ministry Guard, and the Shining Blade. If Guildcast is recorded after Human Week, which is not, what was the most exciting piece of news released in your opinion? If you record the show before then, what are you most looking forward to with the reveals? Love the show and keep up the good work. You don't have an option there for what if it was recorded right smack dab in the middle of it.
No kidding.
I think if I were to say, I'll just answer both of these. I think if if I was looking at what was revealed already, what I'm most excited about, I think the customization, you know, the armors, the clothing, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I like that it's being thought so heavily about, you know, relating to the characters and thinking of how they would live, you know, how the characters are going to live in Crida, what they're going to be wearing. You know, it's a jungle. You know, mm-hmm. It's not going to be robes and, you know, really heavy wool and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I really like that they've brought all that into it, I guess. And then for what I'm looking forward to, does Mesmer count? Can I say that?
No.
Oh.
It goes unsaid, so you get to pick two. How's that?
Oh, okay. I don't know. I think the balance of power thing he said between the Seraph, Minister Guard, and Shining Blade, that makes sense, because then if they do that, then hopefully they'll do that for each of the races, and then we'll, you know, we'll be able to see mm-hmm. why each of them have their own little sects in there and everything. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So what about what you've seen so far? What's your favorite?
Well, I'm going at like opposite ends of the scale. I'm going very broad on one end and very, very specific on the other end. My favorite thing so far has been the lore. I want to know my characters. I want to know their background. I want to know their story, mm-hmm. and I want to know the background and story of their neighbors and everybody that they live near. So the lore has absolutely been my favorite thing. I love their history. I love their past, present, future. But as far as what I'm looking forward to, I want more art.
More art.
More art.
Do you mean like concept art or
screenshots? Give me in-game stuff. I absolutely love today's video, and I played that thing in full screen and paused it I don't know how many times just to look. I want show me more. I want more. I'm greedy for more art.
I hope that everything you see in Divinity's Reach is reachable.
You know, I asked that. I'm ignoring your pun, but I did ask that at PAX Prime last year because I wanted to go in Queen Jenna's castle.
Yeah, yeah.
And she waffled.
Oh.
I asked the ArenaNet person, and man, I tried so hard to get to that castle. I played my second one, and I got in there. I mean, I whipped through character creation, and I was like, all right, I want to go to the castle. I got to get to the castle. And she diverted me.
Oh.
I mean, she was like, you know, if you go over here, you can see shrines to the six gods, and you can get buffs. All you have to do is go over there and talk to them. And then there was this char stomping around all ticked off because he couldn't get an audience with the queen. He was throwing a fit. And she was like, go talk to that char. Go see what he has to say. You know, if you look through this surrogate over here, you can see Lion's Arch.
Oh, man. See, carrot on the stick.
And I did not make it to the castle before my time ran out.
When I played Star Wars The Old Republic at an event, I think it was year before last, and they did the same thing to me. Like, I was running along, and everybody in the group was running towards this objective, and I'm like, hey, there's a beach over there. I'm going to go run and see. And they're like, oh, no, you get it. Come on,
yeah,
go over here.
Yeah, you got trouble.
Yeah, they kind of stopped everything and told me to get back in line. So
you're supposed to be holding the rope.
But on the opposite end of the spectrum of that, when I played, I remember playing Mines of Moria for LOTRO, and I said, can I get over to that corner? And they said, everything you see here, you can get to. Every little thing you see, that little corner over there, that over there, you can get to all of that. Of course,
yes.
You can't climb on the ceiling, but you can do everything else. And I thought that was amazing. So I think on both sides of that, of course, I want to do the see everything and reach everything part of
yes.
it. But when they show that video, they kind of like do a fly-through, and they show the tops of these buildings, and they're so amazing. Like, some of them have little bridges between the buildings, and then there's like platforms on top. And that would be so cool to be able to climb all the way up there, you know, and see the whole city, or go to this building and say, I want to know what's up there. I always find that stuff so fascinating.
Well, did you notice that people were walking on those bridges?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got excited about that because you could see them walking on the top levels and the bottom levels.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. Like, in LOTRO, I want everything. I want to go everywhere.
Yeah. So I hope
so my fingers are crossed, but I want to see more for now. Since I can't go there, just show me more.
Yep. Very true. Okay, let's go to another email here. This is, let's see. See, I like looking at these interesting what do you call it? Subject lines. So
yeah.
If you want to get my attention, give me a nice subject. This one says, Moo says the cow. Yeah, it says, let's see. D Dear Sir or Madam, the other day I was watching one of the demos from one of the conventions, which was narrated by someone that works for ArenaNet. They previewed a dynamic event, and they explained it that the NPC of the area could need help with a slew of things. Bandits, wolves, corn needs to be watered. When they talked about chores that may need to be done, it got me thinking. Since we have a home instance, do you think Guild Wars 2 could be an optional farmer sim like Harvest Moon, but more amazing? I've always wanted to play an MMO farmer sim, as ridiculous as that may sound. What do you two think? Thank you, Dukin.
Oh, I think I'm right there with him.
I have two words for you. Worm Online. Seriously.
Ah, yes.
Like, if you want to play an MMO farmer sim, go play Worm Online. You can literally do that. You can grow crops. You can, you know, sell the crops. You can do all that stuff. You can raise animals. You can do all that.
Yeah, it's so cool.
And he mentions Harvest Moon. Harvest Moon is actually my fiance's favorite game. She plays that a lot. And she's been playing that since it first came out years and years and years ago. And I've never played it because it's really kind of cutesy, a little too cutesy for me. But it looks like a pretty cool game. Essentially, you run around and you meet your, you know, in your village, and you set up a farm, and then you grow your crops and you raise animals, and you can, you know, breed the animals, and you can get a bigger farm and all this stuff. So it's kind of cool. Like, in that way, it's basically a farm sim. And then you have to interact with the villagers and do quests for them and things like that. So I can see what he's talking about, mm-hmm. like adding that in there. You know, even if with that little brief mention of doing chores, I think that's important to notice, to note that this is, it's interesting if they do implement that they just hinted at it, you know?
Yeah, that would be so much fun.
Like, if they had that ability in your home instance to make farms and all that, I would never leave my home instance.
You would never leave your home.
Well, I don't anyway, so.
Well, okay. You would leave it even less.
Yeah.
Like, not even the room.
How meta would that be? I don't leave my home instance in my home that I never leave.
I wonder if your character would waste away and get pasty too.
Oh, yeah.
Or if just you would.
That's true. I don't know.
Actually, you know what? Just a very, very, very brief tangent about Harvest Moon. Because you commented that your fiancé plays it. We play it here. My kids love that game. And it's because of her.
Oh, really? They got she got them into it?
Yeah, well, a couple of years ago, when she first started playing, she was just going, or I don't know if it was when she first started playing, but she was really into it, and she was just going on and on and on about it, and started telling me about it, and I was like, okay, I got to check this out. This sounds pretty cool. So we went down to the video store and rented it for the, we've rented it for the GameCube. And my kids went insane over it.
Oh, yeah.
And then they would have their friends over, and they'd all play Harvest Moon together. And we had, like, other people's children, their characters and stuff stored on our memory cards. And we ended up buying it. My kids still play it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, my kids love it, too.
Yeah. So that was, tell her thanks, because I think we ended up buying two of them.
Yeah, no problem. You're welcome.
So, but I would actually really like that. I would like non-combat little options like that. And we know we're going to have mini games, mm-hmm. so that's going to be cool. But like he said, that kind of thing would be kind of fun. You know, you provide stuff for the farmer for his pies.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would almost be the opposite of what they did with Guild Wars 1, where it was just basically breaking stuff down and, you know, using materials to make it more of a robust crafting system. I would be all on board for that.
Yeah.
Believe me. So. Well, cool. Let's read this next email. We'll make this one our last one. This is actually from yesterday, which is cool.
Oh, cool.
It says, Sean and Ruby, I found your guys' podcast late last year and have been enjoying it since. I know you guys are just in this for the fistful of cash it brings home.
Oh, no way.
Let me pause there while I laugh. He says,
cry.
He says, am I right? He puts in parentheses. But you do a great job. Thanks for taking the time to put another episode together. I just got done reading the ArenaNet blog on character art and left feeling very satisfied with pretty much everything they shared. I was looking at the Mesmer armor comparison between Guild Wars 1 and Guild Wars 2, and a couple things hit me. Number one, how outstanding of a job the original Guild Wars developers did producing great models on what is, by today's standards, pretty dated software. Number two, skin tones. Eyes, hair, everything seems so much more detailed. And number three, there's not a shred of Mesmer doubt left in my mind. Bring on the Chesmer.
Termesmer.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it.
I always felt that the character customization was pretty limited in Guild Wars 1. So I'm glad to hear that there will be many more options for body and face customization. I don't recall those options being shown in the previous demo. Do you think highlighting them here means that there's a chance character customization might make it in a new demo coming out at PAX East? Thanks again for the great show, guys. Matt.
Oh, you're welcome.
I think 100% they're going to introduce something new at PAX East, which is just in like a month away. But I don't know what it'll be. I mean, we won't know until it happens.
Yeah.
But there's something else exciting here that I have to tell you. Ruby and I, while we're not going to be at PAX East, we are going to be at GDC.
Yay!
Which is literally the week before PAX East. It's like a week and a half before.
18 days.
Yeah, so we're going to be at that. And they're going to have a Guild Wars 2 demo there. Like, isn't that awesome?
So we're going to see it and play it and take pictures and take video, and then we're going to play it 5 or 6 more times.
Yeah, and I think what we should do, we're going to definitely do a recording for Massively Speaking there, but we should try to do like a Guildcast there.
Oh, that would be fun.
Like, maybe we could get some of the, because the arena that's going to be there, mm-hmm. get some of them on there or something. Yeah, that'd be cool. This is actually, now, ArenaNet, they've never really been at GDCs officially, like especially last year and year before. So this is big, you know. NCSoft's always been there, but it was usually for Ion or Lineage or things mm-hmm. like that. So this is huge that they're going to have a proper demo there of Guild Wars 2. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and we will be playing that. GDC starts February 28th. Mm-hmm. So
a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll have our hands on it very, very soon.
Yeah, and we will. You can bet we'll be reporting back on that.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But yeah, I'm really sad that we're not going to be able to go to PAX East, because that's kind of more, you know, GDC is like developers and stuff like that, and aspiring developers. But mm-hmm. PAX East is more of a community thing. I wish so much we could go there because we could do some really great things with both Guildcast and Massively, you know, as like a get together. But yeah, not going to happen.
Well, we had a good time at PAX last year, but mm-hmm. PAX Prime is coming, so.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going to be there.
Yeah. I don't know. I probably won't be.
I know.
Because of Dragon Con.
But but it's PAX's turn.
I know, but they keep asking me to be on panels at Dragon Con every year. Like, they literally, when I got off my panel, and actually it was a Guild Wars panel. After I got off the Guild Wars panel, the director came up to me and said, so I can put you down for next year? And I'm like, I guess.
Was that the panel where I was like feeding you all the information I found out in Seattle?
Oh yeah, because it was happening like it happened an hour before or something like that.
Yeah, and I was like emailing you and IMing you. Tell them this.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, Ruby says.
Well, one of us will be at PAX.
Yeah. Well, I think that about does it for this show. Wouldn't you agree?
Definitely. I think we've yapped on enough. I have, anyway. Yeah. They could probably listen to you more.
I don't think so. I think they only tune in for you anyway. So.
Uh-huh.
So we will cover a lot more of these emails when we eventually do an email show or something like that. You know, a lot of times, well, at least in the last few months, there have been weeks where there was no real news. So maybe we'll do something like that. We'll cover a lot of the emails. But I wish I could read them all, but my voice is literally going out right now. So...
Well, it's kind of feast or famine. Either we have like nothing to talk about, or we're drowning in news.
Yeah, that's true. But still keep them coming. I love the emails. Even if I just read them myself and respond to them without being on the show, still keep them coming. So I guess that's it. And we will let everyone know if you want to email us, you can email Sean, Shawn at guildcast.com. Also, Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com. We have Twitter and Facebook. We have the main page at guildcast.com or guildcast.wordpress.com. And I think that's about it. So until next week, when the Mesmer is revealed once and for all, I'm Sean.
I'm Ruby.
See you then.